And I am joined on the good old Dog and Bone by Tug Wilson, and we are going to be talking about the book What He Done Wrote, as they say in that sort of parlance. So first up, let's check. Are you there this morning with me, Tug, sir?
I certainly am.
Love that.
I certainly am.
Love that. Yeah. And you are in sweltering London.
I am in sweltering London. I'm upstairs at friend's house because I've just bought a place.
Yeah.
And I've just sort of moved a couple of weeks ago, but it's south-facing, and I haven't got any blinds.
Oh, my word. Well, that's...
So, yeah, and I, you know, 40 degrees heat, it's it was just too much. So I've actually come to a friend's house in North London, and it's slightly cooler here, and she's got a garden, which is great.
Well,
so, yeah.
Can't fault that. Can't fault that at all. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure.
And it's been a long time coming because we were going to have a natter many, many months ago, but
yes.
Unfortunately, we were off air for a few weeks because of the pandemic, so we weren't able to do any live stuff around that time. So we put you on ice in every sense, Tug.
But you did.
We've got you now. We've got you now.
Right, and I'm melting.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. So without further ado, we've told our lovely listeners about Cameron Tiberius McPherson and also his eccentric mum, Lulu, and the story about the magic chair. So first up, before we sort of wade straight into that, let's just find out a little bit about your good self, if we may, Tug. And just tell us a little bit about your background in writing.
Yes.
And obviously everything else that you do.
Yeah, well, I was for many, many years, Kerry, I was an actor, a professional actor.
Yes,
and
yes.
I worked in theatre, I worked in television, and I've done some kind of films,
right.
Art films in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But I also worked with, I presented a kids' TV programme as well, and I wrote for that, something for Central TV called Let's Pretend.
Right.
And, you know, I've always, and I did theatre and education when I first started as an actor, so I've always had, you know, a great affinity with children and children's stories and
yes.
storytelling. So I did that for many, many years. And then I think as an actor, it got to the point where it just became very, very difficult. As I think most actors go through that sort of period where, you know, am I going to stay in this business or not?
Surely, yeah.
And I decided that, you know, I'm actually a creative and I need to, you know, get up every day and create.
Mm-hmm.
So funny enough, there's an aspect of the book which is set in a restaurant called the Epicuriosity Cafe. I was a marketing manager for a chain of restaurants, and I did all the marketing, all the creative marketing for that. So I kind of used my writing skills in that. I did that for about 4 or 5 years, and then I started my own events and catering business with somebody.
Okay.
I'd met, she'd worked at the Ivy, a very famous restaurant in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we joined forces and we had a big events company for many, many years. So food has played an important element in my life, as I am a foodie and quite a good cook.
Right.
And also there's a strong emphasis on food in the book as well. Cameron goes to this extraordinary restaurant and meets all these strange eccentric people called the hoity-toities and the lardy-dars.
Right.
And there's a massive food fight involved as well. So I've brought a lot of kind of elements of myself into the book, I suppose it's kind of a little bit of a mirror of my life, really, because also the idea of a disabled protagonist came from me actually sharing my space in a flat I used to live in for 10 years with a little disabled boy who has cerebral palsy called Cameron.
Right.
So this is where the idea came from. And he was, you know, he was in a wheelchair. Both of us, all of us actually had quite a surreal sense of humor. So the kind of the surrealness within the elements within the book are kind of from Lucia, Cameron and myself.
Okay.
And what the idea of the book actually came from, I'd taken him to this restaurant in Soho that was being renovated. And at one point he wanted to go to the toilet. So I managed to get him into this rather flimsy cubicle and couldn't get the wheelchair out.
Right.
And I didn't have enough purchase. So I kind of pulled and tugged and all the rest of it. And eventually the whole cubicle collapsed around us. And he just started hysterically laughing.
How did the contact then with Candy Jar come about?
Well, basically, I mean, I took it. It's, you know, it's unless you're David Walliams, it's really, really difficult
getting
a book published. It really, really is. I contacted a production team called Ho Ho, who basically represent me. They're the production team behind me and also my literary agent.
Yes.
So they read the draft and they loved the idea of the book. And then we basically worked on the idea. I did more and more drafts of it until it was absolutely right.
Surely.
And then basically we took it to various publishers and, you know, there were all the kind of polite sort of replies saying, thank you, but
yes,
no, thank
absolutely.
You. You know, it's part and process of being a writer. And then, funnily enough, Helen and Oliver, who were part of who own Ho Ho Productions, they've been working with Sean from Candy Jar on a book called Shane the Chef.
Right.
And they said, which was a cookbook that came out a couple of years ago for, I think it was the sort of 4 to 7 age group for children to kind of cook simple recipes in
Indeed.
Their kitchens at home.
Yes.
And Helen and Oliver just basically said, you know, we've got this other project. Would you be interested? And that was the whole connection with Candy Jar.
And Sean took it from there.
And Sean took it from there. And I was kind of insistent that I wanted illustrations in the book. And I know, you know, for the 7 to 11 age group, illustrations are sort of quite controversial because lots of authors don't have them in their book. But I mean, I kind of grew up on, you know, Roald Dahl with Quentin Blake's
Indeed.
Illustrations, yes. etc. And I, you know, as an adult, I love illustrations. I mean, I think everybody loves illustrations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we set up a competition at the illustration department with Cardiff University.
Right.
I did sort of various talks on kind of characters within illustration, etc. And then presented it all to the students there, and a lovely young lady called Kiara Manship. So we set this competition up, and she won the competition.
She won the prize.
So there was prize money and all the rest of it.
Fabulous.
So, yeah, so there's these wonderful, wonderful illustrations in the book, which are in black and white, but there's also the most fabulous cover with Cameron in his golden wheelchair. Mr. P, who's the magical mechanic, who's this kind of Rasta character, and the van which drives down a rainbow, so that's the intergalactic factory. It's called.
It sounds to me like it's all there for 7 to 11 year olds, really. I mean,
it's really. I mean, I'm very proud of it. It's a really fun. Camp sort of witty story and what's been great about it is that, you know, as many adults have enjoyed reading it as children, so, you know, often, you know, stories, as you know, are read at bedtime, and I've had fantastic response back. In fact, one dad said because there's these two really, really dreadful baddies in it. Called one is the owner of the Epicuriosity Cafe called Monsieur Grande Cornichon, which is basically, you know, a big pickle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other character is Ericsson Longfingers, who's a magician.
Right.
He has got very, very long fingers as well. And the father of this 7-year-old said that I'd created two of the best baddies in literature.
And I mean, kids love baddies, don't they?
Yeah.
They absolutely
you know, kids,
do.
Kids, yeah. And, you know, baddies are... So it's a story that's really... It's not just Lulu that's eccentric. It's a story that's full of really eccentric characters.
Yes.
Because they're the kind of characters that inhabit my world.
Why not?
And they're the people that I'm kind of drawn to. And I think they're the kind of characters that are more interesting to sort of write about, really. So the whole place is absolutely bonkers.
I mean, it sounds to me, as you say, that there's clearly a lot of you in the book, as well as people around you that you've known and probably still do know. And I mean, that's just a lovely way of launching, you know, your first effort, isn't it, really?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I've written before. I used to write for a magazine called The Clerkenwell, which was a London-based magazine, and also I wrote for Let's Pretend as well. So I've always written.
Yes.
But this is my first foray into sort of published work, and we're currently sort of doing the rounds with the book in terms of. I'm trying to take it to schools and do readings and things like that. And also we're pitching it to film companies as well, because, you know, it would be a fantastic family, sort of family film, basically.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it? I suppose film or obviously TV series, whatever it may be.
Yeah,
but clearly lots of ideas.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential within the story, which is great.
Yes.
So I want to kind of see what happens in terms of that. And certainly, I mean, if it becomes sort of televised or there's a film made of it, there will be kind of follow-up books. So I'm just seeing how it kind of develops over the next sort of couple of months, etc. But I mean, I've been very busy writing a second book, but it's a book which is an entirely different subject matter for children as well. But it's about a witch, and it's a witch with a difference, basically.
There we are.
So yeah.
So you're keeping yourself busy, and as you say,
I mean, I'm always very, very busy,
and trying to juggle all these different balls in the air at one time, because as you say, obviously. People who maybe are fancying having a go at writing a book will think, well, that'll be the hard part. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is the hard work really starts once the book is there, isn't it? And getting it out to people and spreading the word, and obviously maybe the exciting prospect, as you say, of it possibly getting on the large or small screen.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, you can't just be a creative without following through a project these days.
You have to
kind of take it, you know, you have to do the whole PR for it.
Absolutely.
And what's been wonderful about the book is of course, it's been picked up by the Welsh Government.
Yes, the Books Council,
The Books Council. So it's been distributed by the Books Council of Wales.
Yeah.
There's, I think, something like over 18,000 copies of it have been distributed, will be distributed to schools in Wales.
Wow, gosh.
Over the next 3 years, which is a fantastic,
it's phenomenal amount, isn't it?
Absolutely wonderful. And then there's also, an incentive called hashtag underprivileged kids. So the book is available in various food banks across Wales as well.
Right.
So, you know, so this is, you know, it's, this is a wonderful kind of, you know, advantage, you know, opportunity for children to kind of read the book. And it's, you know, I haven't held back in terms of language, etc. There's lots of words which, you know, children will wonder what does that word mean. But I think it's exciting to kind of stimulate children. And it's, you know, it's language within the context of a very exciting story. So.
And clearly it covers, as we said, all sorts of areas that younger readers are going to be fascinated by. And as we said, with strong baddie characters in it as well. I mean, that's great because so many kids, they as we said, they literally do love the anti-hero, don't they? And, as much as there's the goody-goodies in a book, so many kids really, really have a soft soft spot, don't they, for those people who are a bit naughty.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Also, I mean, it's the opening chapter, you know, it takes place in a town called Pimple. And basically, the opening chapter is there's a tornado comes to town, which also brings Mr. P in his magic van.
Right.
But, you know, weather is very important to me, you know, what is happening globally in terms of the weather. So, you know, it's very important for me that children, particularly young children, are, you know, there is a weather element within stories that I write, because that is such a massive part of what is happening to the planet at the moment. But it's done in a way that obviously, you know, there's a tornado, the tornado brings Mr. P, etc. And, you know, I listened to something on Radio 4 the other day. I mean, there's, you know, there was something like, I don't know, I can't remember the exact number, but more tornadoes in Britain than we thought there were within the last couple of years. So, you know, these what were uneventful, you know, rare kind of weather events are happening more and more. So,
so it's good for kids to start to understand a little bit about that.
Yeah, just to kind of be aware of, you know, the world that they inhabit.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what's happening with the weather, etc. So, yeah.
Well, Tug, we wish you all the very, very best, obviously,
Thank
with the
you.
Book. It sounds to me as though you're already off to a flyer with it, obviously with the help of the Welsh Books Council.
Yeah.
Clearly, we love to keep things in Wales, but hopefully also it will go worldwide for you, as I'm sure it probably already is.
I mean, I really hope that it's translated into Welsh as well.
That would be super.
That will also give, you know, fantastic opportunities for other translations as well.
Indeed.
I want it to be, and it's, you know, it's about a disabled protagonist, and it's important that, you know, disabled people are shown in literature, so, you know.
Well, especially the kids, isn't it? Because,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
it gives kids absolutely a boost to see that, and rightly so. So more power to your elbow from that point
Thank
of view.
You. Thank you, Kerry.
Well,
That's
as
brilliant.
I say, I hope you get through the day with regards to the ridiculous temperatures that you're going to get in London, even though you are in North London, so that might make it a little bit easier. But, Tug, hopefully, maybe, we can see you in Cardiff one day, and you can come and be a guest in the studio and
fantastic.
Talk about
that,
other
Kerry.
Stuff, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. And thank you so much for inviting me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. And again, we give a big thumbs up to Sean and all the boys and girls at Candy Jar who worked so hard, as we said, to get these books out and to have stuff for kids to read, which is so, so important.
No, absolutely.
But thank you. Have a good day. And we'll
thank
talk
you,
again
Kerry.
Very, very
right.
soon.
You take care.
Thank you
very much.
Cheers, Tug. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there we are. That's Tug Wilson. And we are talking about a book with a fabulous title, Cameron Tiberius McPherson and His Magic Chair, published by Candy Jar Books, mainly for kids around 7 to 11, though no doubt adults are going to like it too. We love that.